WrestleTalkRadio.com.
This is Rob Van Dam. You are listening to WrestleTalk Radio, boo.
Wild Talk Radio Network presents to you the evolution of online sports entertainment, WrestleTalk Radio.
Hey, this is former WWE superstar Shawn Michaels.
This is the Rated R Superstar, a.k.a. Adam Copeland, a.k.a. Edge.
Hey, this is Chris Jericho.
I'm in five halls of fame. I wear a kilt. I play the bagpipes. Who am I? I'm Roddy Piper, for heaven's sake.
Breaking down everything in the world of professional wrestling in the WWE.
It was right here in this room my father taught me. He said, keep your friends close and your enemies closer.
TNA.
What are you looking at, lady? Never seen a pair of boots before? Mind your business.
I think that's a man.
Well, she needs a wax or something.
You're right.
Ew.
And the indie scene.
Hey, everybody, this is X-Spot. This is Hotshot Johnny Devine.
Hi, everybody, this is good old JR Jim Ross.
With your host, Tim Stein.
Your internet slow. Did you disable cookies?
Omega.
Mirror, mirror on the wall. Who is the fairest one of all?
Mace.
Why so serious?
And the producer, Sir Rocket.
Did you know I'm utterly insane?
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Have a nice day.
Yeah, baby.
Oh, make me over. I'm all I wanna be. A walking study in demonology.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. I'm the be-all, end-all, the one and only Omega. Wait a minute. No, I'm not. What the fuck? Omega is missing. He's MIA. He's got a toothache in his ear or some shit like that. I don't know. Anyways, yours truly, Tim Stein, along with the, he's going to hate it when I say this, the Thunder from Down Under, the Mace thing.
I really can't be bothered getting angry about that. I got other things to be angry about, but, you know.
Oh, are we going to get to talk about shit that makes Mace angry tonight?
Maybe.
Oh, I would potentially look forward to that. I'm
yeah.
Just saying.
Hey, Kane Kittens, that's not fair. Tim does have hair. Not much of it, but he's got hair.
I've got hair. I do. I really do.
You're bald. You are not Paul Heyman.
No, thank you very much for sticking up for me and defending me like that, Mace.
Don't get used to it. It'll never happen again.
Probably not. No, I've got hair, you know, there's a little bit on top, a whole bunch on the sides. I've got hair under my arms, and I could keep going, but I'm not going to because it just gets gross from there. I am attempting to grow a, what do they call those, a soul patch. After 4 days, I can feel the whiskers. You just can't see them because they're so, like, white blonde. And they blend in with my skin tone. It's terrible.
No, that's not white blonde. That's called gray, Tim.
No, the gray is actually coming through on the sides. But not on my chin. Excuse me while I have a coke and a smile.
Yeah, pretty much.
No, literally. I'm drinking a coke right now.
Like a creamy soda.
Cream soda. Ooh, hey, what brand?
It's a cheap brand called Kirk's, but...
It must be Australian.
It is.
I figured. Is it any good?
Yeah.
Okay, I've never had Australian cream soda, so... I've had Australian beer, but not Australian cream soda. And I don't think they taste the same.
No.
I've never been a fan of cream soda anyway. Do you imagine cream soda flavored beer?
It's been done.
Interesting. Driving by a liquor store earlier today, I saw a sign, you know, now in special grapefruit beer. And I'm like, you've got to be kidding me.
I could make a joke about that, but I'm going to take the high road on this one.
Why, is it a joke at my expense?
No.
Well, then make the joke.
No, because I'd be racist.
Says who?
Think about it. Grape flavored beer.
No, not grape flavored.
What market would gobble that up?
Yeah, Cleveland. But no, not grape flavored beer. Grapefruit beer. Grapefruits don't taste like grapes.
No, okay. I must be having connection problems. I didn't hear the word fruit. I heard grape soda.
No, grapefruit beer. By the way, I'd like to say hello to Heartbreak Mike, who's tuned in and he's actually listening because he's like really bored and has nothing better to do on a Sunday night like the rest of you. Thanks everybody for tuning in. Starscream Josh. Okay, now that might be racist, Mace. What Starscream Josh just put in there?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, watermelon beer. I'd drink it.
I wouldn't.
I would try it because I like watermelon.
Anyway, let's get to wrestling before we like derail the show any further.
I don't think it could be derailed any further. Anyway, yeah, why don't we talk about the WWE and wrestling and shit like that? Apparently, ironclad contracts aren't so ironclad. This popped into my head when Triple H is threatening Big Show with getting fired if he interferes with all the beatdowns that your buddy Daniel Bryan was going through over the last week with the Shield and everybody else.
Well, this is probably plot convenient amnesia.
I would think so.
The Big Show's been out for a while. People have probably forgotten the whole I've got an ironclad contract thing. So, yeah, typical pro wrestling.
Yeah.
Supposedly fans have the memory span of a goldfish.
Yeah, the problem is, you know, like it's not something I forgot, even though I probably I was expected to. I have a hard time forgetting shit like that. I'm like, really? Come on.
Pretty much.
Yeah, and I'm not the only one. Rock and I had a few chats. By the way, the producer's with us tonight. He'll chime in every now and then just to fill in for Omega, I think. Whether he wants to or not, he's going to have to. So, but he and I were talking about that, and I brought it up, and he says, yeah, you know, that's something we were talking about, you know, blah, 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 on Monday night during Raw, yada, yada, yada. So, but, sure, for the sake of convenience, let's just say that I don't care if you got an ironclad contract, I'll rip it up and fire you anyway.
Yeah, sounds about right.
Yeah, so, is this going to wind up being Big Show versus The Shield for the next couple of weeks?
That match would be on the cards, yes. Supposedly, this might lead into Big Show versus Triple H at some point, because they want to bring Triple H back for a couple of matches. So that's probably more where it's going to head to.
Now, how do you think it was all handled, like, on Monday? I don't know if you saw it on Friday. It was basically a carbon copy of Monday, you know. Don't interfere. And they actually had Big Show sitting at the table all night long, and he was forced to watch and told he can't do anything about it.
Well, as per usual, I do not watch SmackDown.
Uh-huh.
But what I saw on Monday, yeah, it's like, you might have an ironclad contract, but I'm still going to bully you into what I want.
Yeah, this kind of sort of like goes up against their you know, like be a star crap. It kind of makes it hard for some people to take that seriously.
Well,
doesn't it?
Yeah, and they've been copping a lot of flack because of it.
Yeah.
You know, here it is, you've got Ryback being a gigantic bully on TV, now you've got Triple H basically being a workplace bully.
Mm-hmm.
And people have even been calling them out on it. One person did a tweet to Stephanie McMahon saying that they were basically contradicting themselves. Mm-hmm. Her reaction? We're a TV show, get over it.
Well, I can understand her reaction. Also, I'm smart enough to realize that it's professional wrestling. Without having at least one bully on the roster, you're not going to have a whole hell of a lot of things to do on your show. I mean, it's the good guys versus the bad guys. The good guys get the beat down until the big payoff, where they generally come out on top. Kids, it's professional wrestling. it's okay to do this because it's not real. I mean, watch, I don't know, Degrassi, The Next Generation, or whatever is on TV nowadays. I don't watch television. You always got some bad guy doing things he shouldn't do, and then he gets comeuppance in the third act.
Yeah, but, okay, you gotta... I hate to try and go into, like, some sort of psychology thing on this, the goddamn show. God forbid we actually
sorry
about smart
that.
5 minutes. But...
we'll give it a try.
You gotta think. In terms of the little kids that this Be a Star campaign is being pushed towards, you're talking school-age children, below high school or middle school or whatever the hell the systems over in the U.S. have done.
You guys, the
U.S. do it weird. You know, they have like, your primary levels, then they have middle school, then they have high school. We just got primary school and high school. 6 years split up each side.
Uh-huh.
Nice, easy, to the point. You know, this is put to your like, probably say your ten years old and below. You know, that's where they've been marketing this Be a Star thing. Those kids, while they get told by their parents time and time again, you know, wrestling is fake, what you're seeing is not real, they still believe in the characters. They still believe in what they're saying. You know, they see the guys as the characters. Same thing as when they watch a movie and they see the character, not the actor.
Yeah.
It's all well and good to say to the older audiences like ourselves, it's no different than a movie, you know, they're just actors. But when you're marketing something to kids, they're not gonna see an actor. They're gonna see the character.
Yeah.
You know, to kids, John Cena is that all-American superhero, not the guy that you see on Total Divas. You know, Daniel Bryan is the guy who jumps around saying yes, yes, yes all the time, not the vegan guy you see outside the ring. Triple H is at the moment being seen as this big bad bully, when we know outside the ring he's actually one of the better guys to talk to.
Yep.
That's where the contradiction comes in. Is you have a guys out there as a character that is a bully, and what people have been saying is kids see the character, not the actor. So you guys are contradicting yourselves to the kids that you're trying to send this message to. And WWE has just gone, oh well.
Yeah. You know, well, no, that's, yeah, I can understand what you're saying, and, see where, you know, like where you went and everything else like that. But, this is the thing that I have a hard time with. And when I was a little kid and I was watching stuff that was probably a little bit, you know, too old for me. I remember being like 6 years old or something like that and watching this, hour long TV drama. It was like some kind of cop show or whatever. And no, it wasn't Starsky and Hutch, but it was along that line. The opening of the TV show, some guy gets out of, he's in his apartment and he's getting up for work in the morning. Next thing you know, he's like lying dead on the floor. Somebody, you know, a sniper shot him through the living room window or whatever. And the thought that I had running through my head, gee, if that's what happens when you're grown up, I don't want to be a grown up. And I had a talk with my mom about it. She explained it to me. Now there's making the long story short from a longer story. Parenting. Look, people, if you've got kids, talk to them. Don't just use the TV as a babysitter, because that's just stupidity. Don't be afraid to actually be parents. You know, tell me if I'm wrong.
No, I won't tell you you're wrong, because, well, one, you're a parent. So therefore you have a bit more experience in that area than I do. You know, I've only raised my little brother for the past 10 years.
Yeah, but well, you know, I've only got on you. I've raised my son for 13. And I'll tell you, the one thing that we do, he has a tendency to really dig watching shows that I don't want him to watch, because they're too grown up for him. Now, it's not quite as bad. I don't want him watching certain shows because of certain themes in them, as opposed to, well, you're not going to understand this and it's going to confuse you and cause problems. But being the soft touch that I am Owen gets what he wants just because, you know, I'm that kind of dad. However, he earns it, and then we talk about it. And that's the big deal. We talk about it because he doesn't have any problems asking me, what the hell? And believe it or not, he kind of sort of phrases it that way, too. He's, Dad, what the hell? And my first words are, Owen, quit swearing. This is what's going on. So.
Yeah. But anyway, going back to the whole thing of, you know, Triple H doing whatever, especially with Big Show, who's supposedly got an ironclad contract, maybe. We don't know. I believe it was brought up a couple of weeks ago. Mm. I sure as hell didn't notice. Must have happened on SmackDown. Seriously, they do stuff on SmackDown, I have no clue.
There you go.
But anyway, in the terms of the whole thing, probably leading to Triple H versus Big Show in the end.
Which I don't have a problem with. That might wind up being interesting, especially if it's a warm-up to Triple H versus Daniel Bryan. I want to see that. I want to see that not as a payoff to the storyline, but part of the storyline.
Mm.
Because let's face it, at some point in time, they're going to wind up putting the title on Daniel Bryan and give him just as big a run, if not bigger, than CM Punk had. That's the way I see it. Correct me if you don't think I'm right. I mean... go ahead, grumble about it. You're entitled.
There's been reports coming in that they're looking at keeping the title either on or around Randy Orton until January.
Okay.
With no talks of Brian getting the belt at any point.
Okay. Well, January was earlier than I was thinking. I was thinking, you know, WrestleMania, they'll give it back to Brian.
And as Omega and I discussed last week, that's too damn long.
Mm-hmm. Well,
I believe he has come out of the cave. Hibernation.
I can't take it. I can't take it anymore. I was told, Omega, sit back and watch me railroad this show. And he told, no, Tim, no, I can't take it anymore. Fire me if you want to. I got to save this place.
Save it? Why would you save it? I thought you'd be one of the first to help burn the place down.
Shit.
Hi, Omega. How's the toothache in your ear?
Okay. Number one, never be a doctor.
Okay. I wasn't planning on it.
I've got drops. It's getting a little better.
Ear drops. Ugh. Ugh, ugh. So you haven't really missed it all that much. We just started off, talking about Big Show's not so ironclad contract.
No, you started off by ripping off my intro.
Oh, you heard that? Or were you told that, like, separately?
Oh, no. I heard.
Oh, I see. You just, like, you're doing the stealth bomb thing, are you? Just, you know, like, tuning, what are they going to do? What are they going to do? They don't have me. What are they going to do? Figuring you're all that, like invaluable and stuff, which you are. You know, I tried. I admit it. You're the intro dude, not me.
No, actually, I tuned in while I was quickly trying to get some dinner down my throat.
There you go. So basically, you haven't missed a whole heck of a lot. You can chime in on the Siren Clyde contract crap that we were talking about if you want.
That kind of came through my head, too. It's like, wait, Big Show can't get fired. What the hell?
No.
And it's one of those things where I would like to say that's why Big Show's part of this, like, on the side of this storyline, just because maybe someone might remember that and bring it up.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. See, I'm trying to figure out who he's actually feuded with and actually took advantage of the whole ironclad part. Because he gets, you know, the ironclad contract thing was always GM based.
Mm-hmm.
You know, at some point, when you're going up the tiers in the WWE, eventually, you will hit someone that can terminate any contract.
Mm-hmm.
And right now on TV, that's Triple H. Because even if it's ironclad, There's also the thing where, well, I can send you home. I just have you, sitting in your house watching Monday Night Raw instead of doing, anything.
Mm-hmm. Well, now, Triple H has actually threatened to fire him, has he not?
Well, he threatened to fire the whole roster.
Okay. And you're saying it's basically, as it progresses up through the ranks, it's Triple H who's got, veto power on stuff like that. Is that realistic? Is it believable? Do you think that they might actually touch on this ironclad contract crap a little bit more starting tomorrow night? Because there's more than just a couple of people who remember that, despite the notoriety of the fact that a lot of people who pay attention to WWE have the attention span of gnats.
Like I just said, it seems like maybe someone kind of remembers, and that's why show is part of this, but it's also one of those WWE little, wait, I'm supposed to remember that kind of things?
Mm-hmm.
It's a who knows. I'd like to see it, just to see if they actually do remember something and actually use their history to their advantage.
Yep.
But it's WWE. I would not be at all surprised if they forgot.
Yeah. Well, at the same time, guys, would even making reference to that help them out in the storyline at all? Could that be potentially beneficial or anything?
Yes.
Oh? Do tell.
Hang on.
Everybody, wait while America clears his throat. He woke down to dinner before he got here, so he might have some food stuff trapped in the
esophagus. Dinner's not all the way down yet.
There you go. Just do what I do. Have a Coke. Smile while you drink.
Oh, I always do that. You like me, seem to forget that third part of that joke while doing it, however.
Oh, I'm not forgetting. I'm just not going to the third part of the joke.
So, here's the thing. All the crap that Big Show has gotten away with because of the whole ironclad contract thing in the past,
mm-hmm.
it was basically the one interesting thing they ever did with Test, where they gave him the 1 year you can't be fired clause and then forgot about it in about 6 months.
Okay, 6 months.
So if you have someone in charge now that actually that has absolutely no bearing on,
mm-hmm.
that makes it a little bit more realistic. And that, well, not realistic, but that makes it makes the threat of Triple H and just how far his power goes a little bit easier to see.
Okay. Well, I guess, that does help explain it. So we wait with bated breath to find out what happens tomorrow night. And that said, apparently CM Punk's not the only one capable of delivering pipe bombs. AJ dropped one last Monday on Raw.
Exceptional. It was fun. And to be honest, the only thing that sort of dragged it down a little bit, and mind you, this is like minuscule amounts of dropping it down, was the Bellas.
Oh, my God.
Standing at ringside. Say that to our face. Hello, dumb bitches. She's on the stage. She practically is saying it to your face. Yeah, this isn't a video or a backstage. She isn't backstage. She isn't in a studio somewhere, and it's being shown on the Tron where, she's making this. She's on the stage.
God.
I'm probably going to get in trouble with 90% of the female population when I say that's your standard go-to line for any girl being insulted by another girl. Doesn't matter how close or how far away the other girl is.
This is possible.
It would have been funny if AJ said, you want me to say it to your face, turn around and bend over, I will.
Nah.
Along that line, but, said in an entertaining way.
That entire promo, I was screaming, shut those fucking harpies up! Oh my God! Just let her talk!
Anybody else get the feeling that they only have positions in the WWE of prominence is because of CM Punk and John Cena?
You mean Bryan and Cena?
Or Bryan Daniels, Daniel Bryan and John Cena?
Yes. Keep in mind, CM Punk is, you know, sleeping with far more dangerous things right now.
So he's either proving that he's indestructible or that he likes to play Russian roulette with a loaded gun.
I'd say CM Punk's playing Russian roulette with a minigun at this point, but...
Okay, well, you see, what I said, it was actually good because it made Omega snigger.
I no, can say snigger when they get in snicker.
Trouble. Right? Yeah, but no, you still snickered when I said what I said.
No.
Yeah, no revisionism allowed. You did. You made a noise that it was amusing. Yes, there is actually a word called snigger, Rock. Google it. Jesus. It's the cousin to snicker. And it's like a snicker is, you know, this way, but a snigger is that way. And so, no, I'm not being racist in case anybody's thinking that. Well, we got a Heartbreak Mike tuned in, and I don't want him to get the wrong idea and then get offended for no reason at all, you know? Sorry.
Anyway.
Carrying on, this pipe bomb promo of hers, does that make her more valuable as a character, like,
I don't know if it's more valuable, but it's more along the lines of, we have an outlet that we can abuse. Like, because of the whole AJ is crazy thing, it's easier for them to have her say what a lot of fans are thinking and say it so blatantly and straightforward that the writers can't get in trouble for it because, oh, she's just crazy. She's just talking nuts.
See, I actually watched that promo and I wonder to myself, is that really the intention of, like, duplicating the pipe bomb style promo, or is it just hitting on a lot of things that fans happen to think? When she blabbers on about, just replaceable women, that's absolutely true, because fans notice how often they go through divas without ever doing anything different with any of them.
Okay.
I think it was more the first part. Like, it was, she was hitting on so many notes that fans have brought up and stuff like that, that it just came off as a pipe bomb style. So, this wasn't like what Punk did. This isn't AJ Lee turning around and going, I'm going to go out there and say whatever the fuck I want. This was scripted up the ass.
Oh, yeah.
But the way she delivered it and the way it was written made it sound extremely real.
Very well done, very well delivered. Yeah. Now, here's my question. Was it done?
All she was missing, though, was a high Colt Cabana.
Oh, there you go. My question is, now, was this done to further her character in WWE exclusively, or to help get attention very, very, you know, subliminally and subtly to Total Divas?
Number two, no shit.
Yeah, we already know the whole thing of starting this was, yeah, they're going to work it into Total Divas somehow.
Yeah, not to be Captain Obvious, but it had to be pointed out.
God.
Well, it did.
I fucking hate this mentality.
Mm-hmm.
I fucking hate this. You're going and putting this, you know, fuck all cares about this diva show.
Yep.
This diva reality show, which is amazing. WWE is doing a reality show. Okay.
Yeah, in quotations. Yeah.
I'm sure that is just as real as any other reality show out there.
Which is to say none of them are, by the way, just so you kids know about it.
Mm-hmm.
Reality shows are more scripted than Raw.
You mean people don't really find $600,000 items in storage lockers?
Not every day. And not
the same group of people.
Every single
week after week.
Exactly. Hey, what did Rocky find today? You know, just, dude, it's a $500,000 John Lennon autograph. How'd you find that? Just by pure luck. Alright. Isn't that the third one you found this month? Yeah.
God.
Anyway, yeah. Moving on.
It's disgusting to see that they're taking who is easily the best diva they've had since Trish.
Yeah.
In charisma, in wrestling ability, and as we've now found out, in promo work.
Uh-huh.
Because now we found out she can work a heel promo, like a really scathing one, just as much as she can a comedic one.
And so there's more than one kind of stick she knows how to work. Go ahead, groan, I deserve it. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Why did I come tonight?
Because you miss bad jokes, don't lie.
Yeah.
What kind of bullshit?
I'm on YouTube. I get enough bad jokes.
Okay, there you go. Anyway,
but to put more importance on this reality show than you know to basically push this reality show at the cost of AJ's career is disgusting. When she's done more for that Divas roster than anyone in that ring or anyone on that fucking show. To just completely demean her and use her as just a way of getting that show over.
Uh-huh.
Complete bullshit.
Well, you know, at the same time, they could have done that with practically any diva on their roster, and the results would have been what you saw with AJ. Now, it wouldn't have been identical. It would have been, wouldn't come across the same. It would have been an interesting dynamic to see somebody like Natalya cut the promo. Totally separate dynamic, but still, it would have
been absolutely 100% different because Natalya is on the show and the promo is about the bitches on the show getting fame when the Divas champion had to work her ass off to get where she is and is now being pushed aside for basically what is a marketing gimmick.
Yeah, and here's where it's going to get worse, is when her promo is about how hard she worked to get to where she is while they just go off and be pretty for a reality show. And one of them is going to win the Divas title off of her for the sake of that reality show. So there's where all that hard work went.
Well, yeah. You would assume that just because of the way the wind blows in WWE. But at the same time...
No, they're basically doing it to,
but actually, launching her into the same stratosphere as Trish. Pardon the play on words, it was unintended.
I don't think they'd want to even try and put anyone anywhere near Trish because, you know, talk about the unreachable dream. Basically they're looking now for a Kappa for the now extended season of Total Divas, and what better way for them to end it than to have one of them win the Divas Championship? Unfortunately, that means that, you know, once again, God forbid, WWE actually puts a belt on somebody popular and keeps it on them for a decent amount of time. I hate this shit. I will also say this, like, the one thing that made me really, like, almost bust a gut laughing, AJ's whole thing of, basically insinuating that, the Bellas are only where they are because of who they're sleeping with.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody want to get Jay Lethal on the phone? He might have a word or two to say about AJ and sleeping with people to get into the business. Or even better, get a hold of our old friend Amy Lee. Boy, can she tell some stories about AJ.
Well, gee, you only got here because, you're dating two of our top guys. And then cut to them doing Ring Around the Rosie with What's-Her-Head.
Which one?
I don't know.
The one that looks like Ric Flair when he's busted open?
That's a good one.
The one that they can't find anything to do with.
Yeah.
The one they can't find it. JoJo. The one who they've had announced matches, sing the American National Anthem. Because God forbid they actually try and do something with that one.
Well, you could see it. Like, you could see just how much don't give a fuck is in the Bellas. They're not even, selling in pro wrestling goes beyond just making a move look good. If someone rips into you in a promo like that, you don't dance when they're done. You don't play Ring Around the Rosie with a diva that nobody remembers the name of. You act outraged. You take it seriously. You actually make it look like that might have stung, or you might be insulted by that. It just became clear. It's like, they didn't tell us what to do out here, so we're just going to do whatever the fuck we want. So they trash talk through the whole promo, which it makes it impossible to actually go back and listen to without getting irritated at them. And then they dance afterwards, which completely proves the whole replaceable part.
Yeah. Yeah, it was... Like, AJ's part of everything, extremely well done. Everybody else, shut the fuck up. I think the only one who actually sold it properly was Natty.
Well, Natty and the Funkadactyls in the ring, they were fine, because they're just standing there and taking it and just having silent reactions. And that's what you're supposed to have.
Yeah.
That's what you're supposed to do. Let the person talk.
But no, it's all about the Bellas.
Oh, the Bellas have to squawk through the whole fucking thing.
Yeah. Drove me insane as well, so I'm right there with you.
Because I'd like to go back to listen to that promo again, but it's just like, oh, right. Fuck.
We could. I'm sure Rock's got the audio, but...
Oh, I'm sure. I don't want to listen... I don't listen to the Bellas when they're on TV. So I don't want to listen to them during the one thing I do want to hear again.
Very true, very true. Anyway, I think at this point we might take a little bit of break. Do you agree?
Yeah, I think that's a good idea.
Sounds good. We're going to break. We'll be right back here on Wrestle Talk Radio on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
And I give up forever to touch you, cause I know that you feel me somehow. You're the closest to heaven that I'll ever be, and I don't wanna go home right now. And all I could taste is this moment, and all I can breathe is your life. And sooner or later it's over.
Looking for all the latest insight into pro wrestling?
More.
Looking for interesting discussions about both WWE
Mo.
And TNA?
Mo.
Then check out The Rack.
Mo.
Wait, who's saying that?
Molly, 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 Molly.
Rock.
What?
Is that you?
Is what me?
The one saying mole.
That's not me.
You sure?
Yeah, sure.
Fine.
Mo.
Rock, that time it was you.
Wait, what? No, it wasn't. I didn't say that you were the mole.
Sure, whatever you say.
But, if someone were to be the mole, it kind of would be you.
Wait, what? I'm not the mole. You're the mole.
No, no, no. You are the mole.
I'm not the mole. You're the mole.
No, I'm not the mole. You are the mole.
Yes, you are.
No, I'm not.
Yes, you are.
No, I'm not.
Fine. Anyway, for all the latest news and discussion, check us out on The Rack Thursday nights at 11 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. And find out exactly why Rock is the mole.
I'm not the mole.
Liar.
This is what happens when someone drunk dials CB radio.
Rock!
Bug!
we decided we were going to go out, and I decided I was drinking, and I got fucked up. And I'm never going to get fucked up. Crazy a little tipsy. My wife decided to be the DD tonight, so I'm going to have to give her a good fat fucking scroggin later. Show my appreciation. Pig sex. I'm going to go to BP. Live on the air. Give me some cigarettes.
With no pants.
I should walk in there with no pants. Walk in there. I should walk in there with a pamphlet on my ankles and ask where the condoms are.
Are you going there?
No, I don't need parental supervision, Mom. That's a really mean-looking black woman behind the counter. She might hurt.
My dude is Pakistani.
You stupid god!
I just got some lights on.
Okay, when you sit there and wave at people that you're close, and yet every fucking light is on, even your open light, what do you think that tells people? Yeah, but I can't walk in there without my pants on. I can't do it. I'm gonna do it. And that's it.
What? I'm
going to
say I don't know
she's
sober up and down.
Hi.
Can I
pack her up to the box?
Please tell me she has no pants on.
No, I have pants on. I promise I have pants on.
Aww.
I'm not going to...
The person at the stairs, like, what the hell?
Francis are out here has more VD than Rita, who loves coming. One time.
I can't breathe.
Pick me and bake on the smoking machine.
If it weren't past 1 a.m., I'd buy me a bottle of Mad Dog 2020. I caught the thing about some bandanas where you can jump style all the time.
Tune in every Saturday around midnight-ish to see who will drunk dial CB Radio next.
Hey, this is former WWE superstar Shawn Michaels.
Hey, I just can't stand.
And you are listening to Wild Talk Radio.
That really move him. I said,
yeah. Home dark leaving, laughing and glowing.
I'm pretty fly for a white guy. Uno, dos, tres, cuatro, cinco, cinco, seis.
You know it's kind of hard just to get along today. Our subject isn't cool, but he thinks it anyway. He may not have a clue and he may not have style, but everything he lacks, well, he makes up in denial. So dumb deep.
And back to Wrestle Break 2, where we are currently waiting for Tim to get back because his modem's broken. He's really gonna stop buying these from like a second-hand place that sells the 15-hand fucking modems.
He needs to stop, you know, shopping yard sales for computer parts.
Yeah, pretty much. But before we jump back into wrestling. There's something else I want to discuss with you, considering it's, well, it's just you and me at this point.
Huh?
Well, you know, we like to support things every now and again, don't we?
I think I know where you're going with this.
You better fucking know where I'm going with this. If there is one thing that has pissed off Omega immensely, it's been the lack of a Mega Man sequel. A proper Mega Man sequel. Fuck you.
Beware, we're talking of video games.
Yeah, pretty much. We're taking a moment. There's recently appeared on the interwebs at that place known as Kickstarter that Kenji Inafune, the guy who co-created Mega Man, is basically making a new Mega Man. Kinda.
Well, by new, we mean completely new, because he's not allowed to use his old characters anymore.
Yeah. It's actually looking really, really good. I posted the link in the chat room. No, wrong link. God damn it. I just sent everybody to Army Army to buy a Godzilla. Because, you know. Okay, now we're going on the right one. Kickstarter. There we go. By the way, that Godzilla by Figure Arts, oh my god. My wallet is currently crying in a corner. To give you an idea of how much support this thing's got and how much it, probably more it deserves, it's been going about 24 hours on Kickstarter.
Uh-huh. With
a pledge goal of $900,000, they're currently sitting at $721,000.
With 29 days to go.
Yeah. So basically, for those of you who are like Omega, who have been wanting a proper style Mega Man game, jump on board with this one.
Yeah,
because they're going all out for this thing.
Did you watch the video that went with it?
I did. He went to Super Potato.
I love all the nods to the old Mega Man games.
Yeah.
Roll walking down the street with a rush-colored poodle.
Yeah, I saw that. It took me a moment to realize what was going on. I'm like, oh, God. It's corny, but it's Japan,
well,
sir.
Well, what's good about it, what I love about it, is it's kind of heart-wrenching when he's talking about he can't use his characters anymore. But the whole video is basically a subtle "fuck you, Capcom." I'm doing it anyway.
Yeah,
and I love it.
I love how in the very, basically, definitely watch the video they've got on the Kickstarter page. Basically, at the start, they show him looking to redesign a character, and he does a basic outline sketch, and it is pretty much Mega Man.
Yeah.
And then from there, he adds the details into his new character. Which is called Mighty Number 9, by the way.
It's a very Japanese name.
Yeah, very, very Japanese.
This is Cyborg 009 or whatnot.
Yeah. But I just...
The number 9.
Yeah, well, it's one of his trademarks. And the thing is, it's not even... Like, it's... You got the co-creator of Mega Man, you've got the guys who worked on, like... The original level design stuff, guys who worked on the original soundtracks, guys who have done character designs for like Mega Man Legends and stuff like that. So you've pretty much got a lot of the old school Mega Man crew back together making a Mega Man knockoff.
It's spiritual successor.
Yeah, okay, let's go with
that's
that.
That's the term for it.
Yeah. It's better than some of the other things I've seen on Kickstarter recently.
Oh, no. This thing was trending worldwide on Twitter for a bit yesterday.
Yeah.
You know, considering this is something that, you know, this was just a Kickstarter announcement. There's no major studio backing this or anything. This is just Kenji Inafune doing it on his own. To get that much attention and that much support that fast. There's already fan art from official Mega Man artists right now.
Yeah.
It's kind of amazing.
Oh, yeah. This is better than I actually found Uwe Boll trying to raise money for Postal 2 on Kickstarter. Yeah.
So he's pretty much done skirting tax laws to get his movies made. Now he's just outright stealing from people?
Yeah, pretty much.
At least he's upfront about it this time.
Yeah. But yeah, so people out there, if you love Mega Man as much as we do on this network, or at least Omega and myself, go and back this thing. Personally, I'd recommend the $99 pledge, which gets you like t-shirt, retro, old school styling, game box, instruction manuals, and all that type of stuff.
I would so do that if I actually had a budget right now. Which I might later on, because this thing's still going for a month. At which time he'll be able to fund just as many Mighty Number 9 games as there are Mega Man games.
Well, that's the thing. Like, with any Kickstarter, a lot of things like this have extended goals. You know, it's like the 900,000 is just to get the base game out there. 1.2 mil will get an extra two stages. 1.35 mil gets Mac and Linux versions. 1.5 gets an extra mode and an extra two modes. They're hoping for 2.5 million so they can do PS3, 360, and Wii U versions. By the way, this will be on Steam as a distribution, complete with controller support, so you can play it like a classic Mega Man game.
They are going to go so far above 2.5 million.
I'm hoping this breaks the Double Fine record of like 3.3.
You remember what I said? You know, there's so much hate and scorn for Capcom right now from Mega Man fans, just for how badly they've treated the character, how many games they've canceled. Inafune is going to turn all of that bitterness and all of that hatred into this enormous new thing. You know, if Capcom doesn't capitalize on the demand, he is, and he's going to come out the winner here.
Oh yeah. But anyway, to sort of go back on to what we're supposed to be doing this show for.
Oh God.
We're going to go
Wednesday night for a minute.
Yeah, I know. We'll go from a guy who's going to make a lot of money to a guy who can't balance a checkbook. So,
Paul Heyman.
Yeah. did we enjoy what happened on Raw concerning him?
Aside from the assholes and the crowd chanting boring at one part?
Yeah, besides that, because, you know, the crowd, they're a bunch of dickheads.
Yeah. If anyone from that crowd happens to ever listen to this, fuck you. Because what you were watching was amazing.
Yeah, it was. It was extremely well done, and, you know, at one point I sort of sat there and went, you're dragging it a bit too long, and then you get Paul Heyman going, I loved you, and I'm like, oh my God, we've stumbled into like Days of Our Lives or some shit like that. Heyman, you've gone from awesome to creepy as fuck.
I can't remember where I saw it or where I heard it. I saw someone mention, well, Paul Heyman just beat AJ in the crazy X department.
I have no idea.
It's a good line, though, because it's kind of accurate.
Yeah, it was. But still, creepy as fuck.
Yeah. If Heyman is good at anything, it's getting across passion in his promos. He just throws everything into that.
Yeah, it's just, I just don't know what, like, it was an extremely well done piece of promo work, but at the same time, it was like, oh my God, dude, no, creepy.
Applaud CM Punk too, cause at one time that kendo stick is shattered and he still had hits to take.
Yeah. Yeah, and I've taken a couple of kendo shots in my time, and I've seen friends who have taken it as well, and, yeah, ow.
Yeah, it's, at one point he was, he's literally just getting hit with, you know, just spears of bamboo. Or imitation bamboo in this case. You know, yeah, that's what made him bleed.
Yeah, well, the thing about those type of thing is once those things snap, they become worse. That's the thing about it is, like, while it's all together, it's designed to be flexible. You break it, it suddenly goes stiff as a fucking board.
It goes stiff, and you're basically swinging a big bundle of shrapnel.
Yeah.
Jeez. Did you happen to notice that they actually pointed out the blood on WWE television?
Yeah, I did notice that. But, again, it was one of those things in that they couldn't exactly ignore it, but at the same time...
Well, they went and showed it in replay.
Hmm. He, yeah, can't exactly ignore it. So,
well, they, you know, it's PG WWE. They don't want to show or mention blood in any case. The other trend. No, kid friendly. Can't, no, back off. Don't mention it. Glue, stop the match and glue him back up.
It's sort of hard to get somebody in there to glue CM Punk back up while that's happening.
Well, they showed him when he's walking back up the ramp when he's bleeding. He's like, no, someone could have wiped him down or something before that. It's one of the biggest arguments and beefs I've had with WWE because I think because it's a primal instinct that when you see blood, you know something has gone wrong. You know this is bad. You know, something just... really painful just happened. So when you're trying to promote this, it's like, don't try this at home, and then show all these insane acts and weapon shots and everything, and nobody bleeds, you're sending the wrong message, because now it doesn't look like it's doing any damage. Now it doesn't look like it really hurts or anything. You know, I would almost say it's safer and gets the message across for kids better if you do show blood.
Oh, yeah. But that ruins their PC-friendly image.
If you want kids to know, don't try this at home.
Show the blood, dammit!
Show the consequences. even after all this has happened... A handicap match at Night of Champions.
A handicap match in air quotes. You know for a fact this is not an actual handicap match.
Yeah, it's true. It's not a real handicap match. It's just going to be Brock beating the crap out of Punk while Axel stands on the sidelines.
I don't know, supposedly they don't want to use Brock at all for a while. He's only got so many pay-per-views he's going to work.
Okay, then that means it's going to be Axel getting his ass kicked and Heyman standing on the outside going, please don't tag me, please don't tag me, please don't tag me.
And then at some point accidentally getting tagged and the crowd pops, yeah. And then new Paul Heyman guy, because why the fuck not? Because it's Heyman. He's got a trick and he's got a backup plan for pretty much everything.
So I'll ask a question since no
one's listening. I'm waiting to see who would break the silence.
Like, you have a host.
Everyone stop.
Everyone stop to talk. Is there money in a Paul Heyman versus CM Punk match on pay-per-view?
Not on pay-per-view.
There wasn't even money for it on Raw. I'm sorry. Managers should not wrestle. Unless they've had proper wrestling experience.
It is Paul Heyman.
So Fat Man can bump, so what?
Yeah.
They're not putting him in a weasel suit.
If I'm paying for a match, I want to see a match. I don't want to see what is essentially a physical promo.
Yeah, because essentially at that point, you get what happened on Monday night. Where Heyman's not going to do anything. You have somebody else come out and do the blind side, and then, you know, gloat, gloat, gloat. It's a very stock standard formula, and now that they've pretty much, to use a vulgar example, they've pretty much blown their wad with that.
Really? Vulgar on this network? How dare you?
Yeah, I know.
After everything we say on every show, that you had a preface. Pointing that one out. Continue.
Yeah, I'm trying this new thing. It's called professionalism. It's not working.
Yeah, good luck with it.
They've pretty much fucked it up. You know, the big payoff was meant to be Punk getting his hands on Heyman. We sort of got that on Monday night. So why do we want to pay money to essentially see the same thing?
Well, let me ask the promoter the same question. Is there?
The free stuff is the free view for what you're going to pay for. It is a taste. You want Punk to get even with Paul Heyman, you're going to have to pay to see that.
So as a promoter, you would promote something like that?
If it's done properly and you present it correctly, you're going to get people saying, shut up and take my money.
Okay. Just point that out.
It's going to happen. That's just the way it is. Don't give the crowd everything they want and give them everything they need to come back.
All right, this is where you take back over your show, Tim.
I have absolutely no idea where we are because, well, I haven't been able to hear anything because I had no modem plugged in.
Well, we were just finished Paul Heyman and CM Punk, so that would mean the next thing on the list.
Would be Ted DiBiase leaving WWE. He announced earlier this week he's left the company. He's got a job doing something else for a regular job with a regular company. Did WWE miss the boat with Ted? Or was he really just, like, there because he was Ted DiBiase Jr.?
I don't really think it's missing the boat. It's just that they tried everything they could and nothing sort of really seemed to work. It's no fault of Ted's. It's no fault of creative. It's just that when the chips were down, it just didn't work. You know, not every gimmick's going to be a winner.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they tried the thing where he took the belt from his old man and, you know, I'm the new $1 million man or the $1 million kid or whatever. They had him as part of Legacy. They had him try stuff on his own. And it just, nothing really clicked. Like, he's a good talent. He can wrestle extremely well. It's just that there was just nothing. You know, there wasn't that, I hate to fucking use this term, that X factor wasn't there.
He didn't have it.
Yeah.
Or they weren't able to find it before he got fed up and said, well, I'm leaving.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think one of the issues is that he was Ted DiBiase Jr. And, you know, they wanted to use the name, they wanted to use that legacy, but nothing ever quite fit him.
Well,
you know, he wasn't meant to replace or imitate his old man.
No. But, you know, would this be a case of, you know, the Ted DiBiase version of Harry Smith? You know, they tried shit didn't work, banking on the name didn't help.
Well,
repackaging just was a bust, and it was like creative gave up and said, well, I don't know what the fuck we're gonna do. Sit out for a couple months while we think of something.
Here's the other problem that he had. He got injured for a good long time just as he was trying to make his own way, finally.
Uh-huh.
You know, as I said, like, I think one of the problems was, well, he's always been tied to his legacy.
Yeah.
And his legacy just doesn't fit him, unfortunately. So it's one of those things where, you know, the creative was trying the easy thing with him, and it wasn't fitting. And then when creative had to do something different with him that might have worked, he got sidelined on an injury, and that pretty much killed their interest because, we tried this and that, and now we have to start from the start all over again. We might as well build up someone new that, hasn't lost, 6 months of his career.
Well, would it have been better had they just ignored the fact that he's Ted DiBiase's son, given him a different name and packaged him differently? I mean, look at Cody Rhodes, son of Dusty. Sure, they talked about it and everything else like that, but he didn't come in as Dusty Rhodes Jr. or Gold Dust's brother, even though they talked about that too.
They didn't market him that way. Yeah, I just said one of the problems I think he had was they kept trying to market him based on his heritage.
Uh-huh.
And his heritage just doesn't fit the guy.
It's sort of hard to not be compared to his old man when his name is Ted DiBiase Jr. At least with Cody Rhodes, yes, he has the link to the Rhodes family. But he still has a chance to make his own name, so to speak.
Whereas when
you have a name that has Junior on it, then your son is kind of screwed.
Yeah, which is why I asked, should they have given him a different name?
Yes, they probably should have. Because he looks nothing like his old man.
Yeah.
So, therefore, they could have gotten away with it.
Yeah. Well, he will look like his old man in about 15 years, but that's probably a little bit too much of a time span for WWE.
See, now I'm picturing it. There are other things they could have done with it. Like, if he came out and, started as a money man type character, or more of like a, even like more of a managerial role. Where he has guys that he pays their way, he does the funding and all that, where did you get a cement truck on such short notice to bury this your opponent's car? Loan from Ted. And there's ways of using that wouldn't really interfere with. You could use the legacy, but not really lean on it at the same time. What happened was they wanted to get Randy Orton's into his own faction. They wanted legacy. Okay, all second, third generation superstars going on. So he got put into the mix, and let's not forget he wasn't the low man in Legacy to begin with. As it escapes me who the fourth member was, because I can remember him, I can see him, I can't remember his name offhand.
What, of Legacy?
Yeah.
Sim Snuka?
Thank you.
Who?
The guy who didn't catch The Undertaker.
Oh, yeah.
That guy.
I completely forgot about him. Even now, when I think back to Legacy, I think Cody, Ted, and Randy. I forgot there was a fourth one.
I don't know why I remember these things. I just do. Second generation Samoan. What's his name? What is it? I should have just said The Rock's cousin or Yokozuna's cousin. They're all...
There's too many of them.
It's bound to be there somewhere.
Unfortunately, it's so hard to say if anybody really dropped the ball where it comes to Ted. But, he's gone now. All the best to him in his future endeavor.
See you in TNA in 2.5 years.
No, he's gone to be a dad.
Oh. Okay, well, there you go.
You know, because That's actually quite surprising. A lot of these guys seem to have the same thing. When they suddenly become dads, it's like, I don't want to be like my father and, you know, be on the road all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So, good on
them.
They
all remember, they all remember what it was like being the kid waiting for dad to come home for one day out of the month.
Yeah, see dad on TV more than you see him in front of you.
Yeah, who's that? That's your father. Really? No way. Yeah. On that note, why don't we take our second time out of the evening?
Dad just kicked that basketball out from that kid's hand. My dad's a dick.
At least that kid had a basketball. Anyway, taking our second break of the night here, everybody. Listen to WTR, Sunday Night Rust Talk Radio right here, Wild Talk Radio Network. Don't go anywhere. We'll be back.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show. From the big returns...
After 7 long years, finally, The Rock has come back to Monday Night Raw!
To a shocking moment... And the moments that leave you speechless.
I grew up locked in a basement, suffering severe psychological and emotional scarring when my brother set my parents on fire. From there, I shifted around among a series of mental institutions until I was grown, at which point I buried my brother alive. Twice. Since then, I've set a couple of people on fire and abducted various co-workers. Oh, and I, once electrocuted a man's testicles.
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, 11:30 p.m. Eastern, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Do you feel a little bit empty inside after The Rack goes off the air on Thursday nights? Well, don't fret, because The Rack has a little something extra for you, in the form of The Rack Extra. Join us as we review the weekly happenings with your favorite Total Divas. From start to finish, we give you our reactions to all the relationship drama, the infighting, and all the trips to the plastic surgeon's office. Join us as we get all up in that Kool-Aid of the Total Divas with The Rack Extra, weekly right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Trust me, it's simply DaBomb.com.
Calling all pro wrestling fans, don't forget to check out PWMania.com. Again, the web address is PWMania.com. It's the best place on the internet today to get your late-breaking pro wrestling news and spoilers. We also have exclusive interviews, exclusive live results coverage of pay-per-views, rare photos, videos, divas, knockouts, and more. Exclusive writers, pro wrestler columns as well, where you can get a real insider's view of the world of professional wrestling. Bookmark it today, right now. It is PWMania.com.
I don't care what y'all say.
Hey, this is Trish Stratus, and you're listening to Wild Talk Radio Network. Keep listening, because Stratisfaction is guaranteed.
And welcome back, WTR, Sunday Night Wrestling Talk Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. We're still plugging away. We've got a brand new great debate happening starting in just a little bit. And you guys might be wondering what the new great debate is and how long will it take for us to get through the goddamn thing? We're experimenting. We're going to try something a little bit different. So if you're not at wildtalkradio.com, go to wildtalkradio.com, get in the chat room, and pay attention to the live player on top of the chat. That's what I'm going to tell you. Anyway.
And if you're listening in archive form, just ignore what Tim said.
No, you'll still hear the audio, so it doesn't matter. Anyway,
well, yeah, you'll hear the audio, but still. Anyway, that being said, why don't we talk about what exactly might be in a name? What's in the name, guys? We've got a bunch of names that have been changed. I'm going to just rattle through them really quickly here. Stephen Cole has been named Cole Andrews. Brittany Fetkin has been renamed Devin Taylor. Erica Hammond has been renamed Veronica Lane. Smith James has been renamed Bull Dempsey. Lexi Kaufman has been renamed Alexa Bliss, and CJ Perry is now Lana. And of course, Rebecca Quinn, used to be Rebecca Knox, has been renamed Becky Lynch. There's a few more. Adam Scher has been renamed Braun Strowman. Australian talent Matt Silva, mates, has been renamed Buddy Murphy. We'll get to that in just a second. Sammy Callahan has been renamed Solomon Crowe. What's the big deal about changing the names and stuff?
It's giving the company something to copyright and make money off of without having to, like, pay 10 ton of royalties to the performers.
Isn't that just stinky?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
Especially because every single woman on there sounds like a fucking stripper.
Oh, well, it's professional wrestling, aren't they supposed to sound sort of like strippers, especially when you have them dressing the way that you have them dressing?
PG.
PG still lets you dress suggestively.
So, Tim, did you just call Natty a stripper?
I didn't say stripper. I say that the majority of them get dressed up like strippers, for crying out loud.
Just asking.
Don't be trying to get me into trouble, especially when she's in town for a wedding. That's all I'm going to say.
All right, whatever, Tim. Anyway.
There you go.
Continue.
Yeah. Mace, do you have anything to say about the Aussie guy? Just because I'm being stereotypical and you're an Australian?
Well... funnily enough, I did actually go back to wrestling training last Friday, and the mention of Buddy Murphy got brought up.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really good because it's the training facility's in a nice little factory area, so, you know, lots of echo. You could hear the collective face palms from outside with the door closed.
Uh-huh.
Not one person had a positive thing to say about that name.
It doesn't sound Australian enough.
No, it's not that. It just sounds stupid. Buddy Murphy. it sounds like somebody was watching an Eddie Murphy sketch and went, hey, there's an idea.
I was about to say, it sounds like Eddie's less talented cousin, but, you know, you went there anyway.
Exactly.
Yeah, I'm Eddie's cousin Buddy. You know you're not. Shut up.
You know, I knew he wasn't going to go and use Matt Silva, but still.
That sounds like a... Yeah, that sounds like the wacky neighbor on a sitcom.
Matt Silva.
No, Buddy Murphy.
Buddy Murphy. Yeah, Matt Silva sounds like the actor who plays Joey.
Okay.
Uh-huh. Or at least, you know, he could be. Anyway, yeah, moving on.
Where have I heard the name Sammy Callahan before?
He's a well-known independent wrestler. And he's sort of dating someone you know, the one who will, you know, kick your ass if you want her to.
Somebody will kick your ass.
Jeff.
Oh, that's probably
who?
Where. Yeah.
Who? Dish, who?
Jessica Havoc, you know.
Oh, okay.
She's been on another show at some point.
What other show?
Exactly.
There is no show on Tuesdays.
She's my friend who plays Resident Evil games with me.
There you go.
Right, that one. But yeah. He's been talked about as a big indie star.
Yeah. So would Buddy Murphy be your least favorite name?
Yeah. Yeah, most definitely. It sounds like the one that's had the least effort put into it.
Yeah.
Guys, it's 3 o'clock in the afternoon. I want to be at rush hour. What are we gonna call this guy? Where is he from? Australia.
Hey, how about we go and watch some Buddy Murphy? I mean, Eddie Murphy. That's it!
Yeah, don't bug me. Beverly Hills Cop is on. Hey, I got an idea.
Pretty much.
Yeah, I get it.
To be honest, I'm not a big fan of any of the guys' names.
Yeah, they all come across as just really bland and generic.
Braun Strowman sounds like some sort of really, really stereotypical, almost European thing.
Well, gee, he's got a German name, Adam Scherer. You know, Braun Strowman doesn't sound German at all.
It sounds more Swedish. Sounds more Swedish than anything else. To be honest, I as much as I don't like what he's given, Smith James being renamed Bull Dempsey sounds like a step up.
Smith James.
Yeah.
How cruel do your parents have to be to give you two last names?
Exactly. So yeah. Bull Dempsey is a step up. But still, it's a stupid name.
Smith James and Smith Hart should hang out with each other. I don't know. But yeah, Bull Dempsey, okay. That one, that's good for him. But you don't like Cole Andrews or what's the other one?
I'd probably say if there's something that I put at the top of the list, it would probably be Cole Andrews.
Okay. Solomon Crowe.
Solomon Crowe is probably the one that gets the most favor from me.
Yeah, I'd probably put it like second. Sounds very gimmicky. It's like I'm wondering if this might actually test some knowledge. For those of you who watch NXT might have heard of a tag team called The Ascension.
What's NXT? Sorry.
Ascension is this really dark kind of
gothy
cultish style tag team. It's very crude. It's very very Mordecai.
Yeah, very, very well gimmicked, to be honest. With a name like Solomon Crowe, I could see him turning the tag team into a stable by joining the Ascension.
Yeah, it is a rather gothic sounding name.
And I've already stated about all the females. Most of them sound like fucking strippers.
The least stripper sounding would be Devon Taylor. But Veronica Lane sounds like a take on Veronica Lake, which is an actor from the 60s, I think.
Yeah.
And strippers have been known to do that. Take names of actresses from the 60s and twist it just a bit. Not that I go to strip bars or anything.
Oh, God. They go a little farther these days. There's a porn actress named April O'Neil, and I can't tell you how awkward that makes some of my Ninja Turtle searches.
Turn safe search on, Omega.
I was about to say, use your filter. So, okay, there you go. And we basically talked all we want to talk about name changes. It was, slow week. Let's see. We get to roundtable, guys.
This would be the roundtable. Anthony Dancy roundtable with no intro. Dun, 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 dun. With no intro. Dun, 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 dun.
All right. Omega is just beyond caring about that anymore, so we got to come up with something new.
My brain blots it out. I just hear full 10 seconds of silence there.
I know that Kane Kittens pops, you know, he pitches a tent every time he hears it still, but...
No, he pitches a tent.
Well, not as much as when Christian's Wong comes up, but yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
5, 4, 3, 2.
Fuck you guys.
Anyway.
We're waiting for it.
Moving on.
Anyway, roundtable discussion topic tonight. If there was an ECW original that deserved going to the WWE Hall of Fame, other than RVD or Heyman, who do you think deserves to go in and why? Yeah, close enough. King Kittens, you failed to disappoint.
Let's see. If you're going to put people in... See, I'd say sort of, if you're going to do like a build up to a big one, like, say we take an entire class, you know, 1 year is dedicated purely to ECW guys to put in. The post-mortem induction, I would put for Mike Awesome. Dude was a phenomenal talent.
Mm-hmm.
Despite the fact he fucked over the company at the very end, he was probably one of the best attractions they ever had. If you don't give it to Awesome, give it to Bam Bam.
So you've got two possibilities.
But I've got a feeling, is Bam Bam in there already?
No, he's not.
I thought he did. Just trying to think. See, again, it's like, in the, like, I know I'm going down the really bad, these people are dead route, but Candido I'd put in.
Yeah, whoa, wait a minute. What is it with all the dead?
All the good ones are dead.
Everybody else?
Let's put it that way. Most of their top good talent are dead.
That just brings back Shades of 2006. Moving on.
Yeah.
Honestly, if you stick to the rules of this question and just pick one person to go into the Hall of Fame that's an ECW original, and here's the thing. I'm going to break that rule too, but I'm going to break it in a way that makes sense and go with the Dudley Boys.
How dare you make sense?
See, I was getting to that eventually. Yeah.
Well,
eventually, I'm trying to get through all the obituaries first.
Yeah, well, let's...
If you put your Dudley Boys in...
I want to make a Hall of Fame ceremony where I have as few people to pay as possible.
Oh.
Hey, Vince McMahon would love that idea.
Yeah.
Oh, hey, we can fill an entire Hall of Fame class and only pay two people to fly in. Sweet!
Terrible. All right, if the Dudleys ever do go in, don't you think Vince would put them in as WWE?
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
They go over as all, pretty much. They'd recognize the ECW stuff.
Well, yeah, they'd recognize
WWE stuff.
Yeah.
I'd probably say Tommy Dreamer, if you're going to go for one ECW original.
Now, you see, that's the name that I had pop into my head even before King Kittens typed it in the chat room.
Yeah, Dreamer came up. For as much passion as the guy has for the business in ECW, no guy has ever looked worse making so many other people look better.
Yeah.
The innovator of violence.
If you want a really shocking entry to put into the Hall of Fame, put in Shane Douglas.
That would be a surprise from hell.
I'd put him in there just for the speech alone.
Nobody would choose the Sandman with a Stone Cold Steve Austin ripoff gimmick?
Fuck Sam. You know, if you put Douglas in, and you know who you get to induct him?
Don't say it.
Ric Flair.
Oh my god.
Come on. The blow up would be awesome.
Oh fuck.
You just want fireworks now.
Oh fuck yes.
He's just looking for entertainment, that's all.
Damn right.
Like I said, through that shit, make me happy.
Mind you, you want fireworks, guaranteed fireworks. Put in fucking New Jack or Kit Kat.
No, 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 fireworks, not firearms.
Yeah.
Yeah, sorry.
Or justifiable homicides.
I can just imagine New Jack's speech would be fucking wrong.
Oh, man.
God, there's a censor with her finger on the button just sweating the entire time.
Yeah, the most heavily censored, heavily beeped intro speech.
Instead of doing the beep censor, you do the silence one, and you just, from the second New Jack gets to the mic to the minute he walks off stage, is silence. And you just watch him rant and I'm like,
and you're wondering, what the hell is he saying? Well, we can't let you hear it.
I thought it was really daring of someone to go in with a Hall of Fame speech. It was only 12 words long.
Whoa. the 12 words used about 350 times.
Well, really the only words you get out of it are like, the, my, and mother. And that's about it.
The, my, mother.
Well, mother with a very abrupt censor at the end of it.
Mother, yeah, the air's cut off.
Yeah.
So, it'd be an entertaining speech, I'll give you that much.
See, there are other, like, in all seriousness, there are other guys in there, like, Jerry Lynn, but then again, he didn't really have much of a WWE career.
Really?
Lance Storm?
Nah.
You only say that because he's competition.
Hey,
no, he's not competition.
Hey, guys.
What? Mm-hmm. What? What?
Did we forget the easy answers here?
Okay, what are the easy answers?
The easy answers are Chris Jericho and Rey Mysterio.
Again, they'd be putting more focus on the WWE stuff.
Hey, I know, but hey. Qualified. That's all I'm going with here.
Yeah, true.
I hate to admit he's got a bit of a point.
Yeah.
Hey, I didn't go there either, okay? I'm just getting it out there.
No, you went there by getting it out there.
No, I'm putting it in the air, but I already made my pick.
Yeah, and I would, if you hadn't have made your pick already, I would have called you a lazy bastard.
Oh, so I'm an NXT name writer. Okay.
Ooh! Golf clap. Everybody, golf clap for Omega, because that was worthy.
Okay.
Yeah. So, there it is, yeah. I guess. Right? We're done?
So, why not?
Okay. Let's move on and get to the great debate. Now, the great debate.
Welcome to this week's great debate.
Oh my God, wait a minute, it's Paul Bear! It's Paul Bear! And that's gotta be Kane! That's gotta be Kane!
And I am the new millennium for the World Wrestling Federation! Now for those of you who don't know me, I am Chris Jericho, your new hero, your party host, and most importantly, the most charismatic showman to ever enter your living rooms via a television screen.
If this is who we think it is, and we have every reason to believe that this is the human being that has been stalking the Undertaker's wife.
Now, step into the ring with us for this week's great debate.
Now, Tim, you can talk.
There you go. Yeah, I didn't expect you to play the intro just that quickly. I was going to set it up first. Anyway, yeah, in case you haven't figured it out through the new intro song for the great debate, Kane Kitten, you're damn close. Not the best introduction of all. but the greatest or most memorable. Actually, let's change that. The most memorable, because they're not exactly, not all of these debuts are awesome. They're awesome. Some of them are awesomely bad. You'll see. The most memorable debut of all time.
And between me and Tim and a little help from Mason and from Lindsay, we narrowed it down to the top 242.
242?
Okay, the top 64. Okay.
There you go. And it was a lot of backbreaking work Friday night, I think it was. Was it Friday night?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was. It was a lot of backbreaking work. This was a lot of effort, and the whole thing was completed in an hour.
I would say an hour, 2 hours, something like that.
An hour and a half.
Something like that.
Typing time doesn't count.
Okay.
Okay, so that being said, we're going to try something a little bit different here, aren't we, Rock?
Yeah, but before we do it a little bit different, let's do with the first one. First one up, Isaac Yankum versus the Goon, Mace.
I don't remember either one of them. I know the gimmicks. I just don't remember the debuts. See, that's the worst thing, is you're going to go in the stuff in the 80s that I can barely remember, and goddamn you, YouTube, for your non-helpful searches. And I know I can't abstain from this.
Nope.
Due to my lack of knowledge.
Yep.
And these are 90s people, just playing with them, not 80s.
Yeah. Well, he's talking about when we do go to the 80s. Yeah, if we
well, it was okay. It's during the era where I was primarily a WCW fan, right, more than WWF. So I missed a lot of this shit.
Shame on me.
I am a fan, asshole. Not a mark. It's a difference.
Right.
Just because it's going to make a really, really funny next round, Isaac Yankum.
Omega.
Why'd you make me remember the Goon?
Blame Tim.
Oh, of course.
Put him up, am I? Yeah,
oh,
I
of course.
Yep.
This was Tim's contribution to the list, the Goon.
It was one of many, jackass. I came up with the first 10 for you.
I'm not denying that. I'm just saying.
Yeah, I know, but you're making it sound like, oh, Tim's contribution was the fucking hockey player. Figures. I'm just setting the record straight.
Jeez.
And to set the record straight, Lindsay suggested Isaac Yankum, so there you go.
Well, that's not a surprise.
Do you know the Goon's contribution to the world of wrestling? The ability to say, well, at least he's not the Goon.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care what the gimmick is. I don't care how lame it is. I don't care how one-sided it is. At least it's not the Goon. That and wrestling boots that look like hockey blades.
Oh, fuck. That was just terrible.
Yeah. That's his best. You know, at the very least, I can remember Isaac Yankum's debut.
Mm-hmm.
It was Jerry Lawler threatening Bret Hart with this, you know, sadistic guy he had found to wrestle him. And it's this evil dentist during the promo, complete with the cheesy x-ray noises and skeleton, showing. You know, like the x-rays filling the room, because no one knows how to work an x-ray machine, apparently. So, you know what? It was cheesy and extremely terrible, and the gimmick is probably one of the dumbest. But you know what? At least in an extremely cheesy way, that debut was at least entertaining, and I can remember it.
So another one for Isaac Yankum?
Now, have I left it ambiguous, Rock?
I'm just making sure for the official record. notes.
He's taking notes, so he just wants it to be all qualified and shit.
Exactly. And Tim?
Yeah, Dr. Isaac Yankum.
What, you're not going to support the hockey player?
No, because I brought him up originally as a joke, and you changed it from the greatest debut to the most memorable. And Dr. Isaac Yankum going after Bret Hart is a tiny, little bit more memorable than the goon walking in with hockey skate-looking boots.
Right.
So either way, he ties it into a Canadian.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Mace, love you, man. Fuck off.
So Isaac Yankum moves on. Up what next, this is where Tim is going to get fancy because he found some videos.
Oh, yeah, do it, do it. Just play them.
It is Kane versus Simon Dean. So here we go.
It's all over. Now we'll come to Tombstone.
No.
Oh my God, wait a minute, it's Paul Bear! It's Paul Bear! And that's gotta be Kane! That's gotta be Kane! Oh my God, he just ripped the door off its hinges!
Oh my God. Look at the size of this human being. Where is that a human being?
Kane! It's gonna be Kane! The Undertaker! Looking at him! Looking into the eyes of that giant who stands in front of him! Is that his younger brother?
He's huge, whoever he is! He's as big as the Undertaker!
What's this? Oh my! The Undertaker!
Tombstone!
Undertaker! Set up for the Tombstone! The Undertaker set up for the Tombstone! Driven down to the canvas!
This is shocking.
Just when the Undertaker was going to finish off Michaels, as Paul Bearer just threw something on the official.
Dean Simon's system. Oh boy, a purple leotard, anyone? Mark Boy,
I know.
You got one at home?
Yeah, I do, but I don't wear it in front of everybody.
He can fix your body guaranteed.
Now, you might not like the things he has to say about you early on, but he does kind of guarantee the end result, right?
Fine. Well, there's his butt flex, as he calls it.
What you people just saw was God-given talent. Not just God-given talent, but diet and dedication. Two things that you people don't know anything about. Now, you can buy all the Simon system you want. God knows I'll take cash, credit, or even COD. But if the only exercise you plan on getting is picking up a 3-pound box of donuts, then you will never look as good as me. But if you want to be lazy and out of shape, then the best you can hope for is to almost look like an average Joe or Pete or whatever the heck this loser's name is.
You know, Simon does a great job of riling up his opponent every single match.
He is funny. He's a jerk, but he's funny at the same time. Kind of like you, Mark.
Omega, you're up first.
Who the fuck announced Simon Dean to the ring, and why were they hired?
Maria Kanellis.
Marie, why? And I like Marie, too. Really?
Rocking his evil chuckle in the background.
You see, when... See, here's the thing. When you send that list for approval, I intentionally don't look at it because I kind of want to see what train wrecks happened in the selection process.
And there are times you regret that.
Oh, no. It makes it a little fun, I will admit.
Okay.
And, Omega, you only got like 20 of the names when it was sent to you. There was about 40 more added after that point.
Oh, goody.
Which doesn't matter because he hasn't looked at the first 20 names anyway.
I'm just pointing it out. Anyway. Kane or Simon Dean?
Kane?
Okay.
Really? I think even Nova wants to forget Simon Dean.
So, Mace, have you hopped onto the Simon system yet?
No, and the fact that the first infomercial, the first look of Simon Dean... happened on my birthday in 2004. Fuck you, WWE. And just for that, I'm definitely going with Kane.
Birthdays will never be the same again.
And that leaves you, Tim.
Yeah, Kane, dude.
Alright, so Kane and Isaac Yanka move on, so if you do the brackets right, you know what's coming at some point.
At some point in time.
And please make sure we have Lindsay on for that one.
If it works out. If it works out.
Can I say this? The whole video thing helps.
You like that?
Yeah, we need more of that.
Okay, people tuned in listening, did you like the video? Was that good? See, I come up with a good idea once in a blue moon.
It just helps.
Yeah. You're welcome.
He's not qualifying it as a good idea. It just helps.
That, therefore, by default, henceforth, makes it a good idea. What anyway, part of them, you know, what it's implied, for crying out loud.
Anyway, next week on The Great Debate, Raven's WWF debut versus Ric Flair's WWF debut.
Say what?
And Mankind's
fucking
debut.
Rigged.
Mankind's WWF debut against The Great Khali's debut.
Just fucking, so you know, this is fixed.
Rock just threw shit together at random. He wasn't even paying attention to what he was writing down.
Seriously, I wasn't.
Okay, can we get next week out of the way now? Because we know how this is going to go.
No, because we haven't got video yet.
We don't even need video for this one.
That's next week's Great Debate.
There it is. All right. I think it's time for quick hits.
Let's do it.
Time now for some Wrestle Talk Radio quick hits.
Wow.
That's right. It's that part of the show where our panel has 60 seconds to answer sometimes outrageous and ridiculous questions posed to them.
Wow.
Step up to the plate and get ready for some Wrestle Talk Radio quick hits.
Welcome to the portion of the show where we do this just to fuck around because we needed filler content at one point in time.
Tim, if electricity comes from electrons, does morality come from morons?
Not in any example we've ever encountered.
So morality doesn't come from morons?
No.
No?
It's like, if you've got infants in the infantry, would you have adults in adultery? I mean, that's a dumb question.
Mace, if Kurt Angle would dress up as a furry, what would he dress up as and why?
Fuck, I can't believe you actually asked him this question.
Okay.
They were planning this. I heard them plan it. I swear to God, I heard them plan it.
Yeah, it doesn't surprise me at all.
Welcome to your nightmare. Blindside.
It's more of what the fuck do I say? Because there's no animals out there that keep going with a broken freaking neck. You know what? I'm gonna go to the extremely lame one and do a bald eagle. At least they look the same.
Okay, somebody actually said he was gonna pick the bald eagle. Who was that?
I think that was King Kittens.
Yeah. So, King Kittens, if there was money in this, you'd probably win something, but fuck you.
Omega, would you rather sleep next to a serial killer for the rest of your life or live in a haunted house for the rest of your life?
Haunted house?
Hell yes.
Because if I sleep next to a serial killer for the rest of my life, the rest of my life might be 2 days.
I don't understand serial killers anyway. I mean, what exactly is wrong with Fruit Loops?
Yeah,
go ahead, but you did think about it at one point in time in your life.
No, I was never.
You heard the term serial killer and you were licking a Cap'n Crunch dead.
Anyway, continue, Omega.
Why did my ear have to get better?
Because it's a Sunday.
If it was still hurting, I could have skipped.
That'll teach you.
See, here's the thing. If you're living in a haunted house, okay, that sounds spooky. Probably, okay, whatever. You know, but by the dozenth time your sofa starts floating in the living room, then it's just a parlor trick. You know, that's when you have friends come over for drinking parties. You know, okay, take a shot every time the dining room shakes. Okay. You're placing bets on what piece of furniture gets flipped upside down first.
There you go. Tim, when cheese gets its picture taken, what does it say?
When cheese gets its picture taken. Okay. Cheese.
You sure?
You're taking pictures of cheese.
Yes.
Neat.
So it's going to say neat?
Neat.
Meat?
Neat.
Why?
Because cheese, meat, the middle of each word both make you smile with that E thing.
Okay, whatever.
I don't know. That's just whatever.
At least Omega makes a bullshit before he gives the answer. Maze, would you rather be a beetle, a stingray, or a jellyfish?
Well, you could be a rock star, or a car, or a jellyfish.
I don't know, but the idea of being a jellyfish works.
Why?
No bones, just float around in the ocean all day, soaking up the rays. And if somebody comes near me, I sting them. Or if they... Well, the only problem is if I get stepped on, I go...
See, also, if you stick to someone, they're going to have to pee on you.
Yeah, true.
So jellyfish it is?
Yeah, because if I went stingray, you guys were going to make a Steve Irwin joke. And if I went a beetle, and if I chose a beetle, well then Tim would have made a, you know, music
joke. No, I already ate that before you asked.
No. So. No, if you chose beetle, I would make jokes about being a Japanese superhero.
Yeah, but how long has it been since I've actually been based on beetles? Anyway,
you got me
moving on.
Omega, if you
2008.
Omega, if you owned a stingray, what would you name it and why?
Why would I name my car? It's already named Stingray.
And they say my jokes are bad.
now the real answer.
So if I had, theoretically, a pet stingray. Oh, hang on.
You're actually reaching for this?
I'm double-checking something to make sure this is right.
I was going to say, what the hell are you Googling? It's a quick hit. What are you doing Googling?
Here's the thing. The name would be Ray Fillet.
Oh, God.
Mace, do you know why?
Sorry, I wasn't listening.
Okay, did you follow up to the point where they're asked me what I would name a stingray?
Yes, and then you made a joke about a car and I lost interest.
Good for you. the name I pick is Ray Fillet. You follow me.
Yep.
Thank you. For those playing at home, that is a Ninja Turtle character, thus making the answer easy.
Well, there you go.
Is that it? Are we done?
Yes, Tim, that would be done. The quick hits come, you know. Plus.
Holy cow.
And the correct answer is Bob. Bob the Stingray.
Bob.
I didn't know there was a correct answer.
There is. Did you know that?
I'd name mine Scorpion.
Bob the Stingray.
Anyway, yeah, that's it. Another edition of WTR Sunday Night Rush Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Thanks for tuning in and wasting your Sunday evening with us, everybody. We're back at it next Sunday. Tomorrow night after Raw, 30 minutes after Raw, roughly, depending on the length of the overrun, it's the Raw Post Show, 3 hours and roughly 45 minutes with Rock and Lindsay.
Yeah, you plugged that right, so continue.
Nothing else happening till Thursday night, believe it or not. We're going to be taking a look at Lindsay's Rack.
Tune into the Rack live 11 p.m. Eastern as we cover Impact Wrestling, all the news you can handle, whatever our discussions we come up with. Plus, check out the Rack Extra Total Divas Edition airing every Friday right here on WildTalkRadio.com in the archive podcast section. Get on iTunes, visit RackRadioShow.com. Check out the Rack 11 p.m. Eastern this Thursday.
What he said. Yeah, Friday. Who knows? Maybe Mace will do something. Or not.
No, I won't.
Okay. I said maybe. I did
qualify. For the next 2 weeks, I am planned to do other things.
Of course, you are writing wrestling, Wrestling Resurrection?
Ringside Resurrection.
That's it. Ringside Resurrection, where you're taking everybody through getting ready to get back into the squared circle.
By the way, I have to fix the plug for the Rack. I've been corrected.
Oh?
And Lindsay's Rack will punch Tim in the dick live Thursday night at 11 p.m. Eastern.
I am so biting my tongue right now. I'm drawing blood. I'm biting my tongue so hard. Saturday Night Midnight, or as close as they can get to another edition of CB Radio. Did you kids listen last night?
Tim yelled at us last night.
I yelled at everybody because I was asked to yell at people and I couldn't understand why. So I just started yelling and everybody thought it was funny. So, yeah.
And Spud called in drunk and sang.
He did! And Lindsay was absolutely surprised that there was a commercial about Spud being drunk.
Which we played earlier in the show.
Yeah.
And Spud sang, "I'm a Little Teapot." It happened. Check it out. CB Radio. We're here.
I missed the teapot song?
It was during the... You were on the call.
Oh, I missed the teapot song.
Yeah, he sung the teapot song. So
yeah, no, I missed the teapot song.
Go check it out in the archives right here at wellsradio.com.
Yeah, and of course, next Sunday night, we're back at it again. Everybody, thanks for joining us. Have yourselves a safe week.
Hey, Tim.
What? Now what?
Aren't you doing a wrestling show soon?
That's not for, 3 weeks.
Then people don't buy tickets to his show
Why would I promote a wrestling show? You know, Canadian All-Pro Wrestling's War at the Royal Canadian Legion Saturday night, September 21st. Johnny Devine has demanded Kamikaze in a steel cage. Will he get his steel cage match? Well, we'll find out. Tickets are still available, currently available, available now, and you should get them. All you got to do is go to Myth Games, 3434 34th Avenue Northeast, or pick them up at the Legion, or call 587-894-7369, or go to CanadianAllPro.com, save yourself time, trouble, and hassle, and a trip anywhere, and buy them online. Visa, MasterCard, American Express, all that shit accepted. You don't even need a PayPal account. Fun, safe, and convenient for the whole family, as long as you're old enough to have a credit card.
Yeah, you can say goodbye.
Goodbye. We're done. Catch you next Sunday night, everybody. Have yourself a safe week. I walk through my machine.